That kind of music reaches the soul rather than the foot. Modern day contemporary trash today just goes to the foot, the flesh. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm sorry, Ephesians 5. I don't know if I said 4. Ephesians 5 and Colossians 4. Ephesians 5, verse 6, it says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly." Circumspectly, like a circumference, or like inside the rules. "See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Okay, Colossians 4 is a parallel to that. Colossians 4:2. "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without." Notice that phrase again, redeeming the time. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." So I'm going to preach on a subject this morning of redeeming the time. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, I do pray you'd help us to understand the time is short. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to redeem time. I pray you'd help us, Spirit of God, I pray you'd be our teacher and guide, help, fill us with your knowledge and wisdom. And I pray you'd help us to hear what the Spirit has to say to this church. Lord, I pray you'd use me as you will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, two places there, Ephesians and Colossians, mentions redeeming the time. Now think about that. It didn't say save time. It didn't say conserve time. It said redeem it. What does that mean? Like you can buy it back. Redeeming the time. That's what redemption means, buying something back. A person may understand the redemption of your soul in that the first time you were born, unless you only got born once, the first time you were born, you were born in the image of your parents, your earthly parents, just like Seth was born in the image and likeness of Adam. Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. At that time, you're innocent. You don't know good from evil. You're soon to be taught right and wrong, hopefully. But there comes a time in your life when you realize good from evil. You realize that the evil that you do is a sin against God. That's often called the age of accountability. That varies with each individual, depending on what you've been taught. Depends on what you know. And when a person attains that age where they understand good from evil, they understand their actions are evil against God. Okay, at that time they become the children of disobedience. They switch. Before the age of accountability, you are in the safety of Jesus Christ. Every baby that dies before this age, they go right to heaven. They're in the hands of Jesus Christ. Age of accountability, oh, now they're children of disobedience. Somebody comes along the way and shows them about the story of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they realize, boy, I know I deserve to go to hell. I know I'm a sinner. And so they hear the good news about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how he died for their sins, and they trust Christ as their Savior. Their soul has been redeemed or bought back by Jesus Christ. That's what redemption's talking about. Buying back, where we become a purchased possession. Ephesians mentions that. And we become a slave property of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says that. That's redemption. That's to buy something back. Now, the two phrases, identical phrases, we've read was redemption of time. How do you do that? Man is limited by time. God is not limited by time, but we are limited by time, and once it's over, it's over. What you did yesterday, it's done. Time is gone. Time is a precious commodity. Really, if you look at money, money is nothing but time wrapped in a paper sack. But you take somebody's time, do you realize you're taking one of the most precious commodities that they have? To take somebody's time, make sure that when you use somebody's time, you use it wisely. You notice our church services are rather short. I remember in some churches they run 2 to 3 hours sometimes. I'd rather keep her short and sweet, and people sit there and say, well, that was too short, rather than them saying, that was too long. But I feel your time is valuable. And I'm going to give you something to, this time is not going to be wasted. I'm going to give you some truth. Time that's wasted is life that's wasted. Americans waste time. And when you waste time, you waste life. You look, if you would, in Ezekiel chapter 16. One of the sins of Sodom, we obviously know the perverted part of Sodom. And of course, the Sodomites in our country are trying to take their beliefs and cram it down your throat. They don't believe tolerance is putting up to somebody. They believe tolerance is you promoting their wretchedness and wickedness. Different ball game. You say you're intolerant, definitely am. You say you're homophobe, definitely am. I was born that way. Sorry, can't help it. I don't want to faggot around my kids. I don't want to faggot around me. You know, that's how it goes. That's what the Bible, that term comes from the Scripture. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, it says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. What was the sins of Sodom? Number one, pride. Number two, fullness of bread. Number three, abundance of idleness. Waste time. How's America on those three? Three for three, aren't we? That's where we're heading. And then it says, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor or needy. Waste time. Now, the often thought in somebody's life when they get saved later in life, or if they lived a wicked life before they got saved, is they somehow want to catch up, or they somehow want to do some good for all the damage that they did in the past. And a lot of times folks like this will be in such a rush to try to do something for Jesus Christ, they don't want to take out time to study. Oh, I got to get going. I got to do something for Jesus. Man, I have wasted so much of my life. I want to do something for him. I'm in a hurry. I got to get it done fast. The Lord's coming back, so I get in a hurry. I got to get going. Well, that's a good motive. But you just can't go off half-cocked and all these things. You've got to get some wisdom in there. Redeem time. What does redeeming time mean? You can buy it back. I'm not talking about being a good steward of your time where you can do two or three things at once. You know, I see these people who are going to a place, they have to wait for an appointment, and they just sit there. I don't understand that. Just, my appointment's at 2 o'clock. It's 3 o'clock now. And they sit there. Take a book, read, use that time, study. But they're just sitting there, wasting time. Now, how can we buy time back? Now, a lot of times, if you understand the word redemption, you understand some things. If you know some law things, of course, when you have law class, I always got to be preaching about law. But here's a piece of paper that says that you can redeem that in gold if you go to the United States Treasury. That's an unusual piece of paper. 1928 here, I think, says redeemable in gold. You go to the United States Treasury. Of course, when FDR took that away from you, you can't do that. But here's a piece of paper that I'm supposed to be able to go to the United States Treasury and say, I demand $20 in gold. I give them this paper, they give me gold. That's redemption. This one here says silver. Or lawful money, it says lawful money of account. Down here it says we'll pay to the bearer on demand $20. That's a silver coin, 20 silver coins. This one you're supposed to be go to a Federal Reserve Bank and get that. Now back then, those people knew what that meant. People don't know what this means today. And you have to really fight and pull teeth in order to get them to abide by that contract. This one is 1934, this one is 1950. In 1960s, they took that off the paper. Therefore, the piece of paper, you can't redeem it for anything. See, it's absolutely worthless. But back then, it's interesting. This says you can redeem this for lawful money. Does that mean that that piece of paper is unlawful? It must mean that. But that means that this piece of paper is, when you have this piece of paper, you should be able to go to that bank, and then they have 20 silver dollars sitting in a vault back there. You give them this, and they give you the silver coins. And you go to another bank, you say, I'd like to give you these silver coins, and then they'll give you a piece of paper. And you take that piece of paper back and say, I'd like to redeem those coins. I want them back. That's what redemption is. But you know what? You and I can redeem time. We're limited 24 hours a day, but wouldn't you like to have some more hours in the day? You can get a lot of things done when you can redeem time. How can you redeem time? Look into it in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Now you may not realize it, but you're redeeming time right now. Sitting in church, listening to somebody preach the Word of God, you're redeeding time. You say, well, man, I got some jobs at home, but boy, I really got some work I should be doing at home, and it's not getting done because I'm sitting here. Uh-huh. A few years ago, a couple folks in our church was working on their house on a Saturday, and they were working hard, and they had to get the thing done, and they had to get it done, so they stayed off church on Sunday morning and Sunday night, took a couple of men out of the church. They couldn't take the time to sit there in church for an hour or two. They had to get it done. Come Sunday night about 7 or 8 o'clock, they're standing on top of the roof, finished product. Oh, that was so good, got that done. Boom! That thing fell right down in on them. Fell right, they were standing on top and that thing, boom. They didn't brace it enough in their haste. The whole next day, no redemption of time here. Complete loss of time. Have to do it all over again. Now the thing is, if we don't fulfill what God wants us to do, for some reason Haggai mentions, I put my money in my pocket and got a hole in my pocket. If we don't do what God, if we don't take care of the spiritual things, the physical things don't take care of themselves, and in fact they increase. Constant problems. Redemption of time. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. What you're doing is you're redeeming time by gaining wisdom and insight. Ecclesiastes 9:16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. The words of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom is better than strength. You see these great big strapping guys, they put these great big shoulder pads on and they walk on there, let me go hit somebody. And they go out there and then you see that little scrawny, skinny quarterback He gets paid probably 10 times more than the strong ones. Why? Wisdom is better than strength. Any one of those big guys in the front line can take that quarterback and squish him. But he's more important to the team than they are. He has to know what every player is supposed to do on every play. The lineman up front,
what I do, you hit that guy when I say this number. You knock him down, boom, like that. Okay? Okay.
Wisdom is better than strength. That's why they get more bigger contracts than offensive linemen. And the thing is if a guy is trying to use his blade to chop a tree down, or if he's trying to use a chainsaw, and he's working at that, and he said, oh, I gotta take some time. I gotta set time aside to sharpen this thing. Yeah, but Dad, you're not working at that time. Well, I gotta set time to sharpen it. And the kid said, oh no, I can just beat it down with this sledgehammer. And the young says, I can just keep whooping on that thing down with that. And the dad says, yeah, your back's a little better than mine, but I'm going to take some time out to sharpen this blade. It's going to save me time in the long run. I'm going to take some time and sharpen this, and what I'm doing is I'm redeeming time. The first way to redeem time is to study the truth. Study the truth. Probably one of the biggest things that cross people's mind when we say a two-week law course, I don't got the time. That's the first thought that came in my head the first class I sat in. December 1999, Saturday before, I thought to myself, 2 weeks. 2 weeks sitting on my rump for 2 weeks. Boy, I've sat on my rump. This would be the fifth time for that class. Man, has it been a blessing. Redeeming time. Guy gets his car running. He says, I don't want to take the time to change the oil. I don't want to take that time. Man, I don't got time for that. I just got to get going. I got to get going. He don't take time to change the oil. He's going to take time, a multitude time, and money to repair that engine after burns the thing up. Redeeming time. You study the truth. You know what many cults are filled with? Ignorant Christians. They didn't want to take the time to study doctrine. Jehovah's Witnesses, a lot of ignorant Baptists in there. Didn't want to take the time to study doctrine. Now what's happened to them? Wasted life because of deception. Study the truth. Proverbs 11:14, it says, where no counsel is, the people fall. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. The people are too busy doing something. They don't want to take time to talk to a counselor or somebody who's wise in their field. Whatever action you have to do in your life, find an expert in that field and pick their brain. Save yourself some time. Save yourself some heartache. What you're doing is you're redeeming time. So the first way is study the truth. The second way, train others. Teach other folks. 2 Timothy chapter 2, teach other folks the truth. You say, yeah, but that takes time. I know it takes time, but you're redeeming time when you train others. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, the greatest one to teach is your children. It is the parents' responsibility to teach their children. Now, you may want to delegate some of that out, but you ought to be their main teacher. You ought to teach your children. If your child is big enough to take the toys out of the toy box, that child is big enough to put them back. Train them how to put them back. Teach your children how to work. Work is not a cuss word. People punish them by working. That is not a punishment. That is a privilege to work, to create. Teach your girls how to cook. Teach them how to work. Teach them how to clean the house. Make them clean the house.
Amen.
He likes that. Mama likes that probably more. A child that is not taught to work thinks the world owes him a living. Teach them initiative. Teach them how to be industrious. Pull them away from the boob tube, which messes with their thinking. The TV is the worst babysitter you can find. Who is doing the babysitting? A bunch of sodomites in Hollywood is entertaining your child. I got a thing from Herb Evans. It's a cute purple dinosaur for Barney. And if you take the Roman letters of cute purple's dinosaur, it comes out to 666, so that must mean he's the Antichrist. I don't know. But that TV is a waste of time. Them computers can be helpful, but they can be a terrible waste of time. Parents should raise their children properly. When they raise their children, they are redeeming time. When you teach your children the right thing to do, when they grow and live the right way, who's living it? Them directly, you indirectly. And you're building rewards in heaven by that, by teaching others. Look, if you would, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8. When I was a kid, going back and forth, when we have to run and get some errands, going out in the field, I'd go through Hebron, you know, that big metropolis over there, at that four-way stop sign, you know, going from one direction, going to Couch. And I'd see these kids sitting on that street corner, just sitting. An hour later, I'd have to run and get something else, and I'd see the same knucklehead sitting there. And later in that day, you go back, the same knucklehead still sitting around there, doing nothing. I thought, man, oh man, what a boring life. You say, well, it's kind of boring going back and forth in a tractor. Well, yeah, I have to grant at times it was boring. But at least I'm doing something productive. It may be a sag, you know, most of life is sag, bag, and drag, but make sure it's productive sag, bag, and drag. But you see, in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 8, it says, for now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. For now we, who's the we? Beginning of the book, you have Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. Now we live when you stand fast in the Lord. Who's living? Paul, Timothy, and Silvanus, when they trained the people of Thessalonica, when those people lived right, they were living directly. Paul and the other two were living indirectly through them. They're redeeming time. Paul's been dead for almost 2,000 years. He's still living. You know, that cat's not the only thing that can have nine lives. You live through others. You see, redeeming the time is like somebody who owns a business. Often called an employer, but he owns a business. He has people working under him. The owner can actually take a vacation. He still makes the same amount of money. If the employee doesn't have a paid vacation when they're off work, they're out. They're out. They have to be busy all the time in order to make money. Somebody up the top is redeeming time by having somebody else do the work for them. That's redeeming time. When parents train their children properly, mama don't have to be all pulling her hair out, picking up after the kids. She orders it. Pick up after yourself. You know, when times come to do the dishes, if you don't have a dishwasher, I'm sure that's a necessity nowadays, get the two-year-old girl up there, teach her how to wash dishes. Have fun. Splash her with water. Make it a game. Oh, they're going to rot out my kitchen sink or the cabinet. What's more important, the cabinet or your child? So what? You can replace the cabinet. You're building a relationship with your child. Man, the greatest thing you could do, your child ought to know that you love them, not only by words, but by action. Parents need to train their children. You see, people say it's a quality of time. It ain't quality by itself, it's quantity also. They want time. God gave you that child. He didn't give you that child for somebody else to raise. He gave that child to you to raise. Especially when they're small. Especially when they're small. Now, obviously, if you have delegated the education out someplace else, you know, you got some time in a day where, okay, get a job, do something, whatever you want to do, work at home, whatever you choose to do. But the idea is to train other people. Teach your children to be respectful. Teach them to be respectful of the Lord when you pray. Teach them to pray. Train them in the scriptures. Teach them to have initiative. Show them how to have initiative. Teach them to serve. How? Best way is by example. Train others. When you train others, you are living through other people. The third way you can redeem time, you can buy back time, is write your thoughts on a piece of paper. Write a track. Keep a journal. Or a diary, they call it. Write letters. Put your thoughts on tape recorder. You got a will? Write the gospel presentation in the will. As somebody's reading this will, you folks read my will. Hopefully you're not going to fuss about the little things that I have left here. By the way, I'm enjoying the presence of Jesus Christ because he is my Savior. And what a Savior he is. And, oh, by the way, if you're foolish enough to have a lawyer to read this will, you might want to remember that Jesus Christ said, "Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge." Oh, man, preach at him in the will. Man, write it out. And then when you see that lawyer read that thing, his eyes... And then they may instruct you in that will, forget the lawyer, take the thing home and just take it into private probate. I don't got any debts, you know, take care of it yourself. Dump these guys. Don't let them take any of my money. It's for you. Write things down. Hebrews, look if you would in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. He said, "Well, I can't write very good." Neither can I. The first track I put together, or the Which Bible track, somebody asked me for something like that, I probably read through that thing 50 times before I was satisfied. Do it again. Scratch that out. Scratch this out. Scratch that out. Take that word out. That's not needed. Take that word out. It is harder to get something very precise than it is to get something stretched out. Anybody can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Somebody asked a guy who is a famous orator how long he studies when he does a two-hour lecture. He said, 5 minutes. They said, "Well, how long do you study for an hour lecture?" He said, 30 minutes. "Well, how long do you study for a half-hour lecture?" "An hour." "How long do you study for a 15-minute lecture?" 2 hours. "Well, it's five. What if it's a 5-minute lecture?" 3 hours. Why? Because he wants to be so precise in his wording, you have just a very short time. Or the other, who's going to remember what he says in 2 hours? When the average attention span is 7 seconds or less, as far as the thing goes. And you only remember 11% of what you hear and 80% of what you see. That's why you remember that face, but I can't, that name, I just can't remember that name. And that's how the thing works. Hebrews 11:4, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." Abel's been dead for almost 6,000 years, and he's still speaking. How? Written material. He didn't write it down, but God wrote it down about him. Genesis 4. And when you read Genesis 4 and you read about the good testimony of Abel and that encourages you to live your life right, Abel is still getting rewards. It ain't done for him. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul in heaven
is still getting rewards. He wrote 13 books in his Bible, plus Hebrews, if you count that, 14. Any of us that read these books, every time we do right in heaven, Paul's account's going ching, 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 ching. And he's been dead for almost 2,000 years. Why? Redeemed time. He redeemed time. He bought it back. Bought it back in eternity. You see, when others read or listen to truth or redeeming time, when others listen to you, you are building a life for Jesus Christ. And you're dealing with eternity. You see, when you put things on tape, and if you happen to teach things on tape, you can have 100 people take these tapes out, and you're training somebody without even knowing it. I didn't take the time. I couldn't take the time to go down to Florida, to PBI. I bought all of Ruckman's tapes. He didn't know me from Adam. I've talked to him on a few occasions. He'd forgotten who I am. He trained me. How? By book and tape. And anything I do that builds his rewards in heaven. That's fine. That's great. Redeeming time. The fourth area we can redeem time is when we salten or enlighten our community. Now, in America, we have an amazing privilege and right and duty. If you lived in England, you did not have technical freedoms. You are a subject. You cannot own property. You are a subject under a monarchy. But here, you're a citizen. And the citizen is the highest human law, as far as our founding fathers set up in this country, where you and I can get a direct influence in our community. Do you know it's a very few people who are running our country? Evil people. 12 families of the international banking cartel running our country. He who has the gold makes the rules. But what if some righteous people get together who know the law and fulfill their lawful duty? Look, if you would, in Acts 22. The laws in America are available to every citizen. Acts 22. Here's the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, "Be followers of me as I am of Christ." So I want to follow Paul's example. What is his example? Acts 22, verse 25. Paul is giving his testimony, Acts 22, verse 1 to 21, and then he gives a magical word in verse 21, Gentiles. That's a magical word. They wanted to kill him over it, verse 22. Verse 25, it says, "And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" Notice he asked a question. Notice he did not say, "Is it legal? Is it lawful?" Excellent question. An inspired question. He asked the public official, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman?" He's a citizen and uncondemned. Notice the centurion's reaction. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man's a Roman." The other guy said, "Well, I better check into this." And the chief captain answered, verse 27. "Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman?" He said, "Yea." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." Paul said, "I was freeborn. Man, I'm free, white, and 21. Now notice he had them folks scared. Had them scared. He said, "Well, we don't know the law enough. That's why I need to study." You see, you have no complaints if a mosquito comes flying your way
and a mosquito lands on your arm, nothing sucking blood off. Oh, that's a naughty mosquito. I don't like that. Oh, I hate that mosquito. That mosquito really bothered me. It's really, oh, look at it. It's really filling up, that mosquito. Don't complain about getting the West Nile, West, whatever the thing is, virus that you're going to get if you don't sweat the thing. Now, we got a bunch of bloodsuckers out there who are sucking the blood out of the host of Americans, and Americans sit there and complain, but they don't swat the thing lawfully. We got to swat that thing. And we got to put it in its place. And, oh, well, if we do that, they won't like it. I don't care if the skeeter don't like it. I'm going to flatten him. He's an endangered species. And he's going to get it. Okay, that's the lawful. We have that obligation in our country. How many Americans, how many of us have heard we're losing our rights every day? Yeah, that's right, aren't we? Then do something about it. We can do something about it lawfully. American Communications versus Dodd says, the Supreme Court said, it is not the duty of the government to keep the citizen from falling into error. It is the duty of the citizen to keep the government from falling into error. What a benefit that we can have in our community. The state statutes record that they should teach science in a public school. I think they need a lawsuit because evolution is not scientific. And we can control that thing. I do believe with time, the more you know about laws and the more you know about these things and starts practicing, asking God for wisdom, the few righteous can control the majority and win, God, and win souls along the way. Ain't that a blessing, win souls along the way? How did Mordecai become second man in charge in the book of Esther? Mordecai knew the law. Some guy named Haman was the type of the Antichrist. He passed an ungodly law. Mordecai ignored it. Haman was mad about it. Haman wanted to kill him. Mordecai's niece happened to be the queen, and he got the queen to inform the king about this unlawful regulation. Haman was so mad about it, Haman was wanting to, you give a man enough rope, he'll hang himself. Haman built his own gallows. And he was going to try to rat on Mordecai. And God, amazingly, in the nick of time, gave the king a dream at night about Mordecai. And he's thinking about Mordecai. He said, I'd like to reward Mordecai. Haman walks in. He said, Haman, what do you think I could do if I want to honor a man? What do you think I should do? Haman thinks, oh, he's going to honor me. So he plays it out. Haman was going to ask him to kill Mordecai. And so he embellishes it. This, you need to do this, this, this. And then the king said, okay, go do that to Mordecai. What? Can you imagine his buddies? They knew. They knew what he was going to do. And then that guy was exposed. And he got hung on his own gallows. Why? Because Mordecai knew the law even when he was a subject. Because he was a subject. He was a subject to Media Persia. He knew the law. How can we enlighten our community? How can we redeem time? We can redeem time by enlightening our community, by saltening our community with the real and true and honest laws that are based upon this blessed book. We can redeem time by doing that. Redemption of time. Those are the ways we can do it. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to you. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to realize that we can redeem time. I pray that you'd help us not to be a time waster.